All right.
Wow.
All right. Yes, our Jewish guest, he's a great friend, Rabbi Yosef Volofsky from the Harold Rothstein Shabbat Jewish Center. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Dan. And you got the chauffeur live on air.
How about that? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Well, we're only a day away from the Jewish New Year.
Wow.
And the chauffeur that we just sounded here is what we really blow in the temple. That's going to be Thursday and Friday morning this year. And it's meant to herald in the New Year.
Wow.
That's fabulous. You know, I was just trying to think, when we met for the first time, you used to listen to the program.
I still do sometimes.
And again, I remember when I went over one evening when you had a big, big service. It was just spectacular.
Yeah, and thank God, most often when we talk to each other, it's about happy things, the holidays, whether it's Hanukkah or Passover, and now the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah.
Now, this will last 2 weeks, right?
Well, the truth is, the Rosh Hashanah holiday itself, the Jewish New Year itself, is 2 days. But the season continues, because afterwards we have the 10th day of the year is Yom Kippur, which is a day of atonement. Then we have afterwards the big celebration, which is called Sukkot, so when people build little huts and eat outside. So it's really a month-long celebration, but the actual Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, is 2 days. It starts this Wednesday night and goes for 2 days.
Now, those of the Jewish faith, there are different... It's all, of course, Jewish, but yours is more formal, it seems to me, than some of the other faiths that I have participated in.
Well, I wouldn't say we're that formal. I would say that we try to maintain traditional values, but what we really try to do here at our center in Glastonbury, but we have 23 centers throughout the state of Connecticut.
How many?
23.
Wow.
I mean, anywhere from Greenwich to Storrs, and from New Haven to West Hartford, and you know, New London to Litchfield. And what we try to do really is to keep the traditional values, but make them welcoming and accessible and relevant to people in their daily lives, you know, in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Give us a bit of the history. In other words, which year is it for the Jewish New Year?
So we would be starting now year 5778, 5778. So we're going out of 5777. And, you know, you ask a very good question, because every other Jewish holiday dates back to an event. So we left Egypt, the Exodus, we have Passover. The revelation at Sinai, we have Shavuot, another holiday. We survived a terrible decree, we have Purim. Every holiday commemorates an event. But Rosh Hashanah is a little different. The Jewish New Year really commemorates creation itself, like nature itself. So in a way, the Jewish New Year is really a universal holiday, because what we're really celebrating is our existence and our relationship with God.
You know, one of the things that I have always, and that's why we're good friends, that's why I have always admired, is the tremendous dedication. And, you know, when you stop to think about it, another thing that has always bothered me personally is that what the Jews have had to take just to survive, never mind to flourish like you have and your organization has, but just to survive. I cannot understand how any human beings could have put you through that.
Listen, there's no question we have a rich history that has a lot of ups and downs, including much persecution. One of the big blessings of our era, especially living in America, is the ability for every person to be able to worship their God the way they see it. So, you know, we really are thankful every day to be living in this country and in this time. But I would say that what you spoke about, you know, the sacrifice of the Jewish people and the difficulty, that itself is also symbolized by the shofar, because the shofar comes from the horn of a ram. And a ram is a primary form of sacrifice in biblical times. So sacrifice is really the idea of doing something for your value system, even when it's difficult.
Now, what's the official term for that again?
Shofar.
Shofar.
Shofar. Yeah, S-H-O-F-A-R.
Not to be confused with chauffeur.
Exactly.
Shofar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you don't want to get your shofars confused. But there's a lot of symbolism in it. I mean, the most common symbol of the shofar is the simple cry of a child. It's meant to be like us crying out to God, and it's really, like I spoke before, a renewal of our relationship. Every person, the Jewish view on things, which really I think is sort of a universal view, every person should have a mission statement for their life, just like we have a mission statement for a company, just like we have a mission statement for a job. And God also has a mission statement for creation, which is to take regular things and make them special, mundane things and make them holy. When we blow the shofar, we're taking something that otherwise would be lifeless, and we're doing something beautiful with it. We're heralding in the new year. We're creating a relationship with God. And that's what we're supposed to commit ourselves to on Rosh Hashanah, whatever our mission statement is in our life.
We're talking with a dear friend, Rabbi Yosef Volofsky, from the Harold Rothstein Shabbat Jewish Center. And there are several of them here in the state of...
You said there's 23 across?
23 Chabad centers throughout the entire state.
Right.
And I would like to say that, you know, you should really, if anyone is listening to this and wants to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, we, all our centers are open and open to the public. You know, you said that we're a little different. One of the things we're different about is we don't have a membership structure
that
excludes anyone.
And I've been there.
Yeah, exactly.
I loved it.
You're
loved
our
it.
Honorary member. But we don't have, so I would say if you give us a call, we'll let you know what the closest center to you is, and you'll be more than welcome to come, whether it's a dinner the first night of Rosh Hashanah or the services to hear the shofar on Thursday and Friday. So if you don't mind, I'll give out the number.
Please do. Absolutely. Yeah.
So the number to reach us is 860-659-2422. Again, that's in the 860 area code, 659-2422. And, you know, we always say the doors of heaven are always open. So are ours. We want our doors to be open to anyone who wants to celebrate, to anyone who wants to worship together.
You know, there's somebody else, too. When I was with you one night, somebody asked me, and I didn't know. You are young. And again...
Tom Brady is younger.
And drinks more water.
Electrolytes. Or
electrolytes. You're like Tom Brady, right?
Yeah, we try.
But again, is this unusual?
To have a young rabbi?
Yes.
It might be unusual in the bigger landscape, but not in the Chabad movement, because our Rebbe of blessed memory passed away in 1994, but he's the one who really got it going in America, the movement. He encouraged us from a very young age, even high school students, to go out there and to share knowledge and wisdom and joy with others. And then obviously after we settle down with the family, to look for a place where we can serve. So you have almost like an army of goodness looking to do good all over the world.
You know, one of the things that I have noticed when I've been with you is that everybody there is the same. I noticed that, and you're smiling now. But
when you
I
say
did.
The same, you mean everyone's happy?
Everybody, yes.
We say you got to be happy whether you like it or not.
I love it. Dan, don't choke on that coffee.
I was just taking a sip of coffee when he said that.
Because even the Jewish New Year, which really is a time of reflection, and it's a solemn day. But
it's a solemn day?
It's a solemn day.
It's not like when we celebrate New Year on January 1st?
It's not the same way. There are no fireworks besides for the shofar sound. No, it's really a day of introspection and resolutions. But solemn doesn't equal sad. You could be solemn and happy at the same time. And that's what we do during the Jewish New Year.
Now, I see apples as part of the
also the
celebration.
Food. Yeah. You know what they say? I mean, they say all Jewish holidays could be summarized in one line. They tried to kill us. We survived. Let's eat. So there are many symbolisms in addition to the shofar, which and some of them involve food. For instance, apples dipped in honey is a big deal because of the double sweetness. So we're really asking God to make this year not just a good year, but a sweet year. Because we believe everything God does is good, but sometimes we don't feel it as good. It feels bitter. It's not good to us. Sweet means that you taste it as sweet. So we ask God to give us a sweet year, and that's the apples dipped in honey. We also eat pomegranates because the pomegranates has many seeds, and the seeds are meant to resemble our good deeds. In Hebrew, they're called mitzvot, that every good deed accumulates, so you have many seeds. And we also have an interesting, you know what a challah is? A challah is like a braided bread.
Yeah.
Throughout the year, you just eat a braided bread, but on Rosh Hashanah, specifically a round one. So I guess the braided is more like complicated, complex, and the round is more straightforward and simple and also representing the cycle of life. So we have round challah on Rosh Hashanah. So there's a lot of food involved as well.
You know, I think one of the things, and I was so glad when Dan told me you were coming in, but one of the things that has been a part of my life, and it is my meeting those of the Jewish faith. And I'll never forget, because I didn't know that you listened or anything, but I'll never forget when we met And you took me to the Shabbat. You took me to several places. And it was just something very, very special that I hadn't experienced before, but that I have never forgotten.
You know, I think just like we try to bridge the gap between ancient traditions and modern culture to try to make it relevant, I think the same thing is within cultures itself. There's so much wisdom in your culture, in my culture, and everyone's, that if we would be open to listen and to share, then we would really be doing God's work. And I think Rosh Hashanah is about recommitting to a relationship with God, but also to a relationship with each other.
You mentioned hoping that the year is going to be new and sweet. How was the last year? How would those of the Jewish faith characterize this past year?
I would say very diverse, because like in every other culture, we have people of different persuasions. And we have people geographically all over the world. So, you know, I have obviously relatives, whether it be in Israel or in Italy or in Portugal. So you ask that question, I think it's a big universal question. But I would say more than not, we're thankful for the blessings that we have. With all the troubles that we have and with all the rocky road that many people have gone through this year, I think by and large, we're thankful for the blessings. And we really do believe that one thing we did learn this year is that our happiness should not be dependent on a political persuasion, shouldn't be dependent on external factors, but rather our happiness should come from our values and our connection to our families. And I think if we could recommit ourselves to that, then this year would be building on the previous year.
By the way, history has been made in our studio this morning. Rabbi Volovsky, when he came in, put his hat on Brad's head, and I have never before seen Brad wear a hat. And you can see it, too. I've posted the picture on our Facebook page. Go to Facebook.com/talkofct if you want to see Brad, Rabbi Volovsky, myself, but Brad wearing a hat. Go to our Facebook.com/talkofct
History
page.
For the new year.
The
yes.
Last time that I wore a hat was when I was in the Marine Corps.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I just never wear them. For some reason.
Well, listen, the hat that we wear is really meant to be a symbol that we believe there's something always above us, something always watching us.
Well, you put your hat on my head.
Exactly. So I'm saying we're sharing the hat.
I'm not going to let you leave without taking a picture of me wearing that hat, too, because I'm a hat man. I love hats, and that is it's a great hat.
We'll do that.
Yeah. Terrific. I know we've got a traffic report coming up, Brad. Quickly on the sports, the Giants lost. They're a mess. Yankees won, Red Sox won, Mets lost. What else do you need to know?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay, and now let's check that traffic. 7:47, 13 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Do you feel today that those of the Jewish faith, it seems to me there are more and more young people that are becoming like you are?
Well, I think we have a very interesting dynamic going on in America in general, but in the Jewish community in particular, which is on the one hand, you have people having the ability to chart their own course. So maybe someone who in the past would feel they have to affiliate with a regular synagogue today feels they could learn enough online. So you have a lot of, in that sense, fragmentation. And many people feel that is a challenge. And it is a challenge to reach out to people in a way when they're not in the traditional model of a community. But on the other hand, you do find people seeking for something deeper than just a superficial. I think people are waking up to the fact that just the material in life and just the instant gratification doesn't really last that long. That's why it's instant. And I think that for that, my job as a rabbi, and really I think every person of faith and every person of any type of value, that our job is to try to make those values accessible to more people, which really means that we should make it relevant in their lives.
We'll get a bit more serious after the break, but how many kids try to pull your beard off?
People always ask me, you know, why don't you trim it or something? But my answer is I don't mess with perfection.
And again, if people want to see the rabbi's beard, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/talkofct. Yeah, you bet. But that is, is that part of the tradition, part of the Shabbat?
Well, it's not necessarily. It's no. Part of the Chabad tradition, yes, that we basically keep the beard the way it is naturally. But not all, obviously not all Jewish people and not even all observant people. It's there are different customs when it comes to the beard.
By the way, I want to get this right. So Chabad, it's Chabad.
Right.
It's
very difficult, I know. And
yeah. Chabad.
Ha, right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a break and then we'll be right back with our very, very special guest. Stay with us. More to come. It's 10 minutes of 8. 7:54, 6 minutes before 8 o'clock. I have always wanted to ask you, Rabbi, never dead, and I've known you for so long, when did you decide that you wanted to be a rabbi, and how did that happen?
Well, I personally decided early on, I would say during high school years, and it happened, as I mentioned before, because growing up, I would listen to the Rebbe almost every day, every week, and he would speak about the value of not being insular, but of sharing with others, but really to make the commitment to become a rabbi and to become a community, you know, leader in this way. It has to be a family team. So it was my wife, Yehudis, and myself together. We made the decision when we got married. That's when we finally, you know, chose a spot and took it seriously. But as far as having a vision of what I want to do, it was in my high school years.
Where did you go to high school?
In Brooklyn.
Okay.
In Brooklyn, because the Rebbe lived in the Crown Heights section of Brooklyn, and I went to high school that was primarily Judaic studies. But it's, like I said, it's all about learning a lot. I mean, 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., but sharing it, not keeping it to ourselves.
It would take days, perhaps even volumes, but in general terms for our audience, what are some of the basic differences between Judaism and Christianity?
I think maybe the basic thing is related a lot to Rosh Hashanah, which is we believe that every person has a direct connection to God, not through any intermediaries, and that even if you're not Jewish, you have a very important role to play. So we don't say you must be Jewish to have a connection to God. We say every person has a connection to God on their terms.
The other thing I hear from people is the Jewish people believe that those of faith, that Christ has not come, that the Jesus Christ has not been born. Could you define that or explain that?
Well, really, it doesn't come down to a historical question. The history is the history. The question is the model of Messiah, which means salvation, or which means anointed by God. If that requirement was filled, then we believe that we're still waiting.
Mm-hmm. So that is.
So you don't deny the existence of Jesus Christ.
Correct. That's a historical fact. We don't debate the history.
But you don't believe he's the Messiah.
Exactly. That's a Jewish traditional view.
Okay.
And we're still doing good to perfect the world and bring the Messiah.
Okay. You know, seriously though, one of the things that fascinated me, and I first met you from the radio. I didn't know you.
I first met you from the radio too.
I know. And you come, you know, all of a sudden you show up.
Listen, I think you have, not only you have the talent and the experience, but you also have the heart and the value system. So you use your show not just as a job, but to do good in your life. And I think, Dan, the same thing. You know, bringing people together for good causes is a big byproduct of what your job is. And I think the fact that you use it is really using your mission statement in life.
No, thank you. Just getting back to what we talked about with the Messiah, because this really fascinates me. Will those of the Jewish faith know when the Messiah has arrived?
It will be undeniable, not just to Jewish people, but to the whole world.
It'll be
a game changer of peace and goodness, things that we probably cannot at this moment envision in a universal level. But from the Jewish perspective, we know that miracles have happened in the past, great transformation in a short time, like we even see in our modern age. And we believe that the more good we do, the closer we bring the Messiah to basically tilting the entire world to good.
Before you go, tell the folks again where they can come.
Yeah, let's celebrate a little bit together. Yeah. Give us a call, 860-659-2422. Anywhere in Connecticut, we'll get you set up for a place to pray, to eat, to hear the show, for a celebrate together. 860-659-2422.
Thanks a million.
All right, God bless you all. Shana Tova, as we say, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You made our day.
You sure did.
You really, truly did.
Yep. Let it be a blessed year.
Thank you.